Page 426. There are various elements contained in the concept of proof which are not always differentiated from one another in pragmatists' literature. An opinion can be completely validated because the objective relationship whose existence it asserts are confirmed on the basis of experience and observation with unobjectionable instruments and logical conclusions, and it can moreover be of practical use to its holder or other people. Even with the first of these relationships, a need arises for intellectual organization and orientation. In this connection, James speaks of a function of guidance which repays the effort. Footnote 25, text. He sees that this theoretical proof, the agreement between idea and reality, the portrayal often means nothing more than that nothing contradictory from the quarter of that reality comes to interfere with the way in which our ideas guide us elsewhere. Footnote 26, text. If the difference between this theoretical verification of truth and its practical meaning, the furtherance of life, is nevertheless often eliminated in a given moment of history, there comes into existence that strict idea of a strictly parallel progress of science and mankind, which was philosophically established by positivism and has become a general illusion in liberalism. But the more a given social order moves from the promotion of the creative cultural forces to their restriction, the greater the conflict between the verifiable truth and the interests bound up with this form, bringing the advocates of truth into contradiction with the existing reality. Insofar as it affects the general public rather than their own existence, individuals have reason, despite the fact that proclaiming the truth can endanger them, to sharpen it and carry it forward, because the result of their struggle and the realization of better principles of society is decisively dependent on theoretical clarity. Pragmatism overlooks the fact that the same theory can be an annihilating force for other interests in the degree to which it heightens the activity of the progressive forces and makes it more effective. The epistemological doctrine that the truth promotes life, or rather that all thought that pays must also be true, contains a harmonizing illusion if this theory of cognition does not belong to a whole in which the tendencies working toward a better life-promoting situation really find expression. Separated from a particular theory of society as a whole, every theory of cognition remains formalistic and abstract. Not only expressions like life and promotion, but also terms seemingly specific to cognitive theory, such as verification, confirmation, proof, and so on, remain vague and indefinite despite the most scrupulous definition and transference to a language of mathematical formulae. If they do not stand in relation to real history and receive their definition by being part of a comprehensive theoretical unity. Page 427. The dialectical proposition that every concept possesses real validity only as a part of the theoretical whole and arrives at its real significance only when, by its interconnection with other concepts, a theoretical unity has been reached and its role in this is known. It's valid here too. What is the life promoted by the ideas to which the predicate of truth is to be attributed? In what does promotion consist in the present period? Is the idea to be considered valid when the individual who has comprehended it goes down while the society, the class, the public interest for which the fight strides forward? What does confirmation mean? Is the power of the slanderers and scoundrels to serve as confirmation of the assertion with whose help they attained it? Cannot the crudest superstition, the most miserable perversion of the truth about world, society, justice, religion, and history, grip whole peoples and prove most excellent for its author and his clique? In contrast, does a defeat of the forces of freedom signify the disproof of their theory? The concept of proof also plays a role in the materialistic way of thinking. Above all, it is a weapon against every form of mysticism because of its significance in the criticism of the acceptance of a transcendent and superhuman truth which is reserved for revelation and the insight of the elect, instead of being basically accessible to experience and practice. Yet, as much as theory and practice are linked to history, there is no pre-established harmony between them. What is seen as theoretically correct is not therefore simultaneously realized. Human activity is not an ambiguous function of insight, but rather a process which at every moment is likewise determined by other factors and resistances. This clearly follows from the present state of the theory of history. A number of social tendencies in their reciprocal action are described there theoretically. The agglomeration of great amounts of capital as against the declining share of the average individual in relation to the wealth of society as a whole. The increase of unemployment interrupted by ever shorter periods of a relative prosperity. The growing discrepancy between the appointment of social labor to the various types of goods and the general needs. The diversion of productivity from constructive to destructive purposes, the sharpening of contradictions within states and among them, all these processes were shown by Marx to be necessary at a time when they could only be studied in a few advanced countries and the embryo and the prospect of liberalistic organizations of the world still seemed excellent. But from the beginning, this view of history, now in fact confirmed, understood these developments in a particular way, that is, as tendencies which could be prevented from leading to a relapse into barbarism by the efforts of people guided by this theory. Page 428. This theory, confirmed by the course of history, was thought of not only as theory but as an impetus to a liberating practice bound up with the whole impatience of threatened humanity. The testing of the unswerving faith involved in this struggle is closely connected with the confirmation of the predicted tendencies which has already taken place. But the two aspects of the verification are not identical. Rather, they are mediated by the actual struggle, the solution of concrete historical problems based on the theory reinforced by experience. Continuously, in this process, partial views may prove incorrect, timetables be disproved, corrections become necessary, historical factors which were overlooked reveal themselves. Many a vigorously defended and cherished thesis proved to be an error. Yet the connection with the theory as a whole is in no way lost in this application. Adherence to its proven teachings and to the interests and goals shaping and permeating it is the prerequisite for effective correction of errors. Unswerving loyalty to what is recognized as true is as much as impetuous as theoretical process as openness to new tasks and situation and the corresponding refocusing of ideals. In such a process of verification, the individuals and groups struggling for more rational conditions might succumb completely, and human society develop retrogressively a conceivable possibility which any view of history that has not degenerated into fatalism must formally take into account. This would refute the trust in the future, which is not merely an external supplement to the theory, but belongs to it as a force shaping its concepts. But the frivolous comments of well-meaning critics who use every premature claim, every incorrect analysis of a momentary situation by the adherents of the cause of freedom as evidence against their theory as a whole, indeed against theory in general, are nevertheless unjustified. The defeats of a great cause which runs counter to the hope for its clearly early victory are mainly due to mistakes which do not damage the theoretical content of the conception as a whole, however far-reaching the consequences they have. The direction and content of activity along with its success are more closely related to their theory for the historically progressive groups than is the case with the representatives of naked power. The talk of the latter is related to their rise only as a mechanical aid, and their speech merely supplements open and secret force with craft and treachery. Even when the sound of the words resemble truth, but the knowledge of the falling fighter, insofar as it reflects the structure of the present epoch and the basic possibility of a better one, is not dishonored because mankind succumbs to bombs and poison gases. Page 429. The concept of verification as the criterion of truth must not be interpreted so simply. The truth is an impetus to correct practice, but whoever identifies it directly with success passes over history and makes himself an apologist for the reality dominant at any given time. Misunderstanding the irremovable difference between concept and reality, he reverts to idealism, spiritualism, and mysticism. One can find in Marxist literature formulation close to pragmatic doctrine. Max Adler, footnote 27, text, writes, "Theory turns directly into practice because, as Marxism has taught us to understand, nothing can be right which does not work in practice. The social theory is nevertheless only the recapitulation of the practice itself. In regard to the identity of theory and practice, however, their difference is not to be forgotten. While it is the duty of everyone who acts responsibly to learn from setbacks in practice, these can nevertheless not destroy the proven basic structure of the theory, in terms of which they are to be understood only as setbacks. According to pragmatism, the verification of ideas and their truth emerge. According to materialism, verification forms the evidence that ideas and objective reality corresponds, itself a historical occurrence that can be abstracted and interrupted. This viewpoint has no place for a basically closed and unknowable truth, or for the subsistence of ideas not requiring any reality. But this does not mean that the concept of a conviction which, because of a given constellation of the world, is cut off from verification and success, is a priori untrue. This also holds true for historical conflicts. The possibility of a more rational form of human association has been sufficiently demonstrated to be obvious. Its full demonstration requires universal success. this depends on historical developments. The fact that meanwhile misery continues and terror spreads, the terrible force which suppresses that general demonstration has no probative force for the contrary. The contradictions appear plainly in Max Scheler's extensive refutation of pragmatism in post-war Germany. Footnote 28. Text. Scheler did not fail to recognize the relative truth of pragmatism. So-called knowledge for knowledge's sake exists nowhere and cannot and also should not exist and has never existed anywhere in the world. When pragmatism attributes to the positive exact sciences a primary purpose of control, it is certainly not wrong. Rather, it is vain foolishness to consider positive science too good or too grand to give men freedom and power to guide and lead the world. Footnote 29. Text. He also understood that the criteria for practical work in this doctrine were modeled exclusively on the inorganic natural science and then mechanically transferred unchanged to knowledge as a whole.